I came out here to teach and to fellowship with the dean. I want to go take this same truth a little different direction in this session, if we could. And that is let's just turn to Proverbs in the 29th chapter, and then Habakkuk chapter number 2. Proverbs chapter number 29, and Habakkuk chapter number 2. If you don't know where Habakkuk is, go to the index. Habakkuk's close to the end of the Old Testament. Just go to Zechariah or Malachi and start backing up. You'll go past Haggai, Zephaniah, and then Habakkuk. We got to read from his book. You know, we're going to meet him in heaven. So he might ask, did you read from my book? You know, oh yeah, we read. But let's start out in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 29. And we read this in verse number 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish. This verse has been something God has spoken to me a lot about and given me understanding about to help me walk out his plan for my life. And so I'm going to take some time and look at this with you this morning, and particularly what we're going to do in this section of the service is we're going to talk about what this word means, vision. It literally means, I did some studying on this, and it means, this word is used mostly in the prophetic books, and it almost always signifies a means of divine revelation. It almost always says signifies a means of divine revelation. It's either comes through a prophetic vision by which the divine messages are communicated, or by the means of revelation. And actually, if you look up the word, the Hebrew literally means seeing or revelation or oracle or word of the Lord or something like that. It'll be defined different ways. But the word revelation seems to be sort of the core of it. So it's used, like I said, throughout the prophetic books. It almost always signifies a means where the divine revelation is given. And in that revelation, a divine message is communicated. It means divine communication and focuses on the means by which that communication is received. It means divine, I'll say that again, it means divine communication and focuses on the means by which that communication is received. And so you can see through the definition here that he's talking about communicating this word without a vision, the people perish. He's talking about without God communicating his message and revealing his plan, then the people perish. Now, oftentimes it's used, like I said, in the prophetic books where the prophets would prophesy and they would communicate what God's saying to the people about his plan, what he wanted them to do, what direction they were to go, so forth and so on. Now that's the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we all have the Holy Ghost. And in the New Testament, God will speak to us specifically within our own spirits about his plan for our lives. We don't have to go to somebody else to get that plan. Now, God can confirm that plan through somebody else. But we don't just follow what somebody prophesied unless it confirms something that we already have in our spirits. But the principle is the same today that God wants to communicate with us. And he does, number one, through his word, you understand. But number two, like we said, there's specifics to that plan that we have to get from God, the Holy Spirit, through seeking him, getting the mind of God. And he says, without doing that, without getting that kind of revelation, we will perish. Now, the Hebrew for perish means it means to run wild with no direction. to run wild with no direction. So without a vision, the people don't have any direction. So he's talking about revelation that directs our lives. How many of you don't want to just run around bouncing off of, you know, bouncing off of walls and bouncing off of hindrances and resistances, but you want to have divine direction and not be running here and, you know, here and back and forth? I watch some people in our church make decisions, and their decisions almost, they are very erratic. I mean, they're doing this for a while, and they're doing that for a while, and they're just bouncing because they're not listening to the Holy Spirit within them. The plan of God in my life has been always progressive, and what I have done before what I am doing now has always prepared me for what I'm doing now. There's never been a time where it's been erratic and unorganized. You know what I mean? It's always been a flow, not erratic and jerky. You know what I mean? I'm trying to put words on it. But it's been a flow. My life has been a flow. And the Holy Spirit, he'll cause one phase to flow into another phase. And when you get into the next phase, you'll realize, wait a minute, I've been prepared for this. All that he was doing before this was preparing me for this. And so when you get into this phase, you're almost thinking, okay, this is what he prepared me for. And then he'll move you on to something else. And you'll realize, wait a minute, that was not just something that he was having me do. He was also using that to prepare me for the next thing he had for me. And there's a flow to it. Amen. Rather than running wild, you know, like a chicken with its head cut off. There's a flow to it. Hallelujah. And so where there is no vision, where there is no revelation of the plan, no communication, or there's no one receiving that communication, the people run wild. They don't have direction. And so I want to spend some time looking at what we were talking about in the previous hour plus. We took a little extra time. But we'll talk about it in the connection or in this context of what the Bible says about vision. This is something that God has spent a lot of time talking to me about, and that is the vision of his plan for my life. Now, another verse you could go to is Habakkuk. You can turn over there. Habakkuk, it says here in chapter 2, verse number 1, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. That he may run that readeth it. Well, you put that together with Proverbs 29 and you'll find out without vision, they'll run wild. In other words, they have no direction. They're just running to run. They're running different directions. But he said, whenever divine revelation of God's plan comes, God told Habakkuk here, write it down so that people could run that read it. In other words, they run with direction. They're running in the direction of the vision. Now, all through the Bible, we see that God is a visionary. Well, what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is he has, throughout history, we'll get some examples of it here in a bit in the Bible, but throughout history, he has chosen people and spoken to them about something he wanted them to do because it would set in motion his plan in the earth. And we're going to look at some of those examples. And they had to take that God spoke to them as his plan, and they had to steward it by exercising faith over it. And they had to walk it out to bring it from the spirit realm into the natural realm. And whether you or I realize it or not, it has changed. Whenever men have done that, it has changed the whole course of history. Some things are more prominent than others. But Abraham, him obeying God, changed the whole course of history. But it wasn't just him deciding, I'm going to leave my country. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to live in Canaan's land. It wasn't him just, you know, pulling something out of the air. God spoke to him. God spoke to him and said, see all this land? I'm going to give this to you and your seed as an inheritance. And it set some things in motion. God spoke to him and said, I'm going to give you a son, you and Sarah a son, and then there's going to be a mighty nation rise out of you. He actually revealed to him that the Messiah, Jesus Christ himself, would come out of that seed, and that he would bless all nations through Jesus. It wasn't just about him having a boy. This was to set in motion a plan in the earth. Whoa. And he probably had no clue at the time how big a deal it was. That they just believed God and exercised and steward that vision God gave them to have a son between he and Sarah, not another way, but to have a son. They probably had no inkling at the time how big a deal it was. But listen, we're living in a day right now that God is speaking to people and showing them his plan and giving them the vision for their lives. And it's huge that they fulfill it. Whenever Dr. Dufresne was caught up to heaven and received the revelation that he received about the last day churches, about the flesh churches and the spirit churches, that's huge. Those are things for us to focus on, and they give us direction for where we're going. You understand that? And there's not just Dr. Dufresne, Brother Hagin, others have come, and now Pastor Nancy's being used in some of these same ways. It's important that we not just say, oh, that was a good service. No, this is huge. This gives direction to our faith. When God speaks and says, this year, you believe for this. You know? And so, but that's the way God is. God through history has done that. And he gives it to people who will steward it right. He speaks to people about his plan because he's looking for a steward of it in the earth. You understand what I'm talking about? Now let's back up and talk a little bit more about his plan. About this word vision. Because it's found throughout the Bible. Now we're not just talking about the kind of vision where a person sees into the realm of the Spirit. And might see spirit beings, might see Jesus. Jesus might talk to them. Now that's vision, all right. But we're not limiting it to that. Define it this way. You remember the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, what is it, verse number 8? We walk by faith and not by what? Sight. Walk by faith and not by sight. Then just back up a few verses and you'll find 2 Corinthians 4:18, where Paul says, we look not at the things which are what? Seen, but at the things which are unseen. So we are to look at something that is not seen. We look not at things which are seen, but we do look at something. We look at things that are not seen. Things which are seen are temporal. Things which are not seen are eternal. All right, so what is he talking about when he says we look at things that are not seen? Is he talking about we all need to fall into a trance and see the spirit realm and see heaven and see all? Well, if God wants to do that, fine. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about seeing things with the eyes of our spirit that God is speaking to our hearts about. That's the way God speaks. When God speaks, you see it. Let me say it again. That's the way actually we speak too, by the way. But when God speaks, we see it. In other words, let me illustrate, because we're the same way. When we speak, we see things. In fact, a good communicator will say things in a way that people see it. If I say dog, probably none of you in your mind's eye or in on the inside saw the words, the letters D-O-G. You probably saw an inner picture of in your mind or somewhere, you saw a dog. You saw a furry animal with a tail wagging, going, you know. Isn't that right? Why? Because we talk in pictures too. That's the way we talk. You ever seen the cave dwellings where some of these people that lived in the caves, they drew on the walls? That's the beginning of language where they wrote in pictures. That's what language is. It's pictures. When Jesus taught, he told stories. And he illustrated spiritual things with natural things. And they would get a picture of what spiritual things were like because he described it by something natural that they could see in the physical realm. So they could see the spiritual truth. They could see the spiritual reality of something because they were aware or familiar with something that they had already seen in the natural. But what the picture was that Jesus was painting was not something in the natural. And you can find this when the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. Don't think that doesn't mean we don't walk by seeing something. We just don't walk by what we see in the natural. Because we do look at things not seen. Faith cannot, in fact, if you don't see it, you're not in faith. Now that might sound like a strange doctrine here at World Harvest Bible Training Center, but I'm not talking about seeing it in the natural. If you don't see it, you're not in faith. Many times people think that faith is just, you kind of grab onto something and you don't see it on the inside. It's not that way. You actually see it because you see the Word of God has revealed it and you see yourself the way the Bible says you are. Brother Hagin used to always say, like he quote Proverbs 4, he'd say, my son, attend to my word, incline thine ears, and let him not depart from thine eyes, keep him in the midst of your heart. He said, if you meditate on the word, you're bound to see yourself well. What's he talking about? He's talking about God will take the paintbrush of his word and start painting a picture, and on the inside, you'll see yourself the way God sees you. So let me go through some things that is what vision means. Would you like to understand vision a little bit better? It's what he sees your life being. A God-given vision is a revelation of the plans and purposes of God for our lives. I'm going to take some time because I think some of you are going to try to capture this, I can tell. So we'll take this. It's what he sees your life being. I don't mean he's looking at you right now and sees this is what you are. He sees you in a way that he sees you in the light of his plan for you. That's how he sees you. In fact, he'll talk to you that way. He'll talk to you as if that's who you are. He came on the scene to Gideon and said, "Hail!" He's hiding from the Philistines. "Hail, thou mighty man of valor." He's hiding, and God says, "You're a mighty man of valor." God spoke to him the way he saw him, not the way he was. God does that all through the Bible. God changed Peter's name he changed it from Cephas to Peter. Cephas means unstable, shaken reed, but Peter means rock. God spoke, he called him something that he wasn't because that's the way he saw him. You want to bless people? Call them the way God sees them. Your backslidden daughter. You're in fellowship with God. You're walking in the plan of God. That's who you are. You're fulfilling the plan of God. Yeah. I don't want anything to do with God. That's what God sees you. That's the way I see you. They'll get mad, but you just hold them to it. Amen. Praise God. I'm about to shout on that one. So, but that's what it is. It's what God sees your life being. It's his vision. It's a revelation of his plans and purposes for your life. It's seeing what God sees our life being with the eyes of our heart. When God speaks some things to us, there's times in my life that God's spoken some things to me and I'm like, oh, no. I mean, I'm tempted to go, no, not me. I mean, whenever I was in high school, when God called me to the ministry, actually, I got back. He called me at an earlier age, but he spoke to me again about it. I'm like, you got the wrong guy. I mean, not me. No, not me. I was shy, backwards, introverted, didn't like to talk to people. In fact, I didn't like people. I liked dogs better than I ran the fields with my dog. I enjoyed my dog more than people. And God said, I'm calling you to preach. I mean, he sees things we don't see. But when we get a revelation, and that revelation comes by the way, through him speaking to us, because that's how we see these things. Then we see our life being what he sees, but we see it with the eyes of our heart. Now, the Bible talks about, remember Ephesians 1, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. Some verses will say the eyes of your heart being enlightened. Your heart has eyes. Your inner man can see things. I don't mean, I'm not talking about a vision where a person sees into the spirit realm. That can be true too, but you don't have to have that to see God's plan for your life. You can see it because God spoke something to your heart. And you saw yourself the way God sees you. You saw yourself doing something, fulfilling a mandate from heaven, doing something that you never thought you would do. Hallelujah. But it came through him speaking to you. Let me give you some verses on that. But we'll finish this first. It says, the eyes of our heart can be enlightened in some other translations in Ephesians 1. Well, then all of us have physical eyes as well as spiritual eyes. Our heart can see things. Our spirit man, let's put it that way, can see things. And it's called revelation. And revelation is not based on some kind of sense knowledge. And I will get into that more as we go too. But it's revelation from God of his purpose and my potential in him. It's divine insight into what my life can be in God. And it is actually God's future for me. I don't know if I'm going too fast. I don't know if some of you are trying to capture this. Let me go over that part again. It's a revelation from God of my purpose and potential in him. It's divine insight into what my life can be in God. It's a picture painted on the heart. I'm in the wrong paragraph. It's a divine insight into what my life can be in God. It's God's future for me. God's future for me. Now listen to this. It comes from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who reveals things to our spirits. Amen. It's, like I said, I'll go back over that, a couple of these last lines again. Divine insight into what my life can be in God. It's God's future for me. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It is a divinely empowered ability to see something that does not yet exist in the physical realm. It's a divinely empowered ability to see something that does not yet exist in the physical realm. It's seen by faith, not by the physical sight, yet it is nonetheless real. I'm going to go back over a couple of these again. I know some of you are capturing this. It's a divinely empowered ability to see something that does not yet exist in the physical realm. If you're not seeing something other than what exists in the natural realm right now, you'll never have anything other than what exists in this natural realm right now. Real faith is seeing something different. Seeing something beyond what you're seeing in the natural right now. And it's enjoying it right now as if it was already so. Whether it be the call of God on your life, or whether it be your needs met, or whether it be something else. Hallelujah. So it's a revelation of the plan and purpose of God for our lives. And it's the divinely granted, it's given by the Holy Spirit. It's a divinely empowered ability to see something that does not yet exist in the physical realm. Now I'll go on. It's seen by faith, not by sight. Yet it's nonetheless real. Boy, is it real. Yeah, man, it gets to be real whenever you get to looking at it. It's nonetheless real. It is a picture painted on the heart of a man by God himself. Remember whenever God said to Abraham, I am going to, you and Sarah are going to have a son. I'm going to bless that seed, and you're going to make great nations coming out of you, and so forth and so on. And he had never been able to have a son, he and Sarah. So God said, come out here, come outside. It was nighttime. He said, look up at the stars. Count the stars, Abraham. One, two. I don't know how far he got. He lost track. You ever tried to count the stars?
No.
I used to do it as a kid. Did I count that one? I don't know. You lose track. Well, God told him, go out and look at the stars. He told Abraham, go out and look at the stars. And he said, my goodness. Hey, how many of you know back then you could see a lot more stars than you could today? With all the lights we have today, he could see a lot of stars. And he looked up there and God said, so shall your seed be. Whoa. In other words, God gave him a picture of the innumerable number of people that's coming out of his and Sarah's bodies. Hallelujah. Woo! And he said, go down by the seashore and look. Count the sand. I can't. That's how innumerable your seed's going to be. He was giving him a picture on the inside of something that it was God's plan for his life. And it wasn't just about having babies. It was about the Messiah coming into the earth. It was huge that he steward that and believe it and receive it and bring it to pass by his faith. Praise the Lord. But Abraham couldn't see it until God started giving him some pictures. See that? See the stars? Oh my goodness. I see. I have a picture now what you're talking about. So it's real and it's now manifesting in the earth, isn't it? It's a picture painted on the heart of a man by God himself. And I'll say this about a vision. It's a gift from God. In other words, it's something that you need to realize how precious it really is. It's a gift from God. It's not ideas that are conjured up in one's own mind or imagination. It's something that comes from the Spirit of God to the spirit of a man. It's not something of the mind. I'll go over some of that again. It's a gift from God. It's not something that is conjured up in one's own thoughts or one's own imagination. I'll go on and it says that it's only by the power of his provision, his power and his provision, that the vision can ultimately be fulfilled. Most of the time when God speaks to us about something, it's impossible. I'm talking about the natural. It's impossible. There's things right now he's dealing with us about, my wife and I. And we just say, hallelujah, it's coming to pass. But we have no clue how. Jesus, we have no clue how. But it's coming to pass. That's not my department. My department is to believe it, steward it, and thank you, Father. Oh, Father, I thank you that it's coming to pass. Just like you showed us it's coming to pass. Thank you, Father. That's my department. His department is the doing part. And he's well capable. Hallelujah. So it's a gift from God. It's not an idea conjured up in one's own thoughts or imagination. It's only by the power, by his power and by his provision that the vision can ultimately be fulfilled. And then I'll say this. Vision is the blueprint that God gives for us to follow and produce the physical reality of by faith. It is the blueprint. When a person builds a house, they don't just hire a contractor and the contractor goes out there and says, okay, let's see, let's dig a ditch here, where else can we dig a ditch, and start just figuring it out as they go. They have a blueprint. In fact, it's required by code, you know. They have to follow a blueprint. The blueprint is something that they follow in order to bring to pass the actual reality. And the vision, God, when God speaks to you and says something to you about his plan for your life, that is that's what you're to use your faith to build. Don't use your faith to build something else. Use your faith to build what he spoke to you. Amen. The vision is the blueprint. There's a verse over in Hebrews, I believe it's Hebrews 8. I don't have it in front of me. I can turn here while maybe I'm saying this, and I might can give it to you. It talks about God spoke to Moses up on the mountain, and he said, see that you build everything according to the pattern shown to thee on the mount. That's Hebrews 8, verse number 5. Build everything according to the pattern shown thee on the mount. That's the way you and I are to do in our life. We build according to the blueprint that what God spoke to us about. There's a blueprint in the Word, isn't there? That's general for all of us. But the specifics, whenever we hear from God specifically, God shows us the vision that we're to build for Him specifically. It'll always be in line with the Word. You understand that. So did you get all those things about vision? You want me to go over any of those last parts again? Sounds like you got it. All right. So with that in mind, there's a responsibility on our side to separate from natural plans that we might have and incubate and nurture the plan of God through our time of prayer and through times of speaking over it in faith. How many of you got your own plans you'd like to do? Amen. We must learn to lay those things aside and make them secondary. God's plan is the main deal here. If some of our desires in life, we get an opportunity to do that without compromising this plan, fine. God has things that He'll allow us to enjoy down here. How many of you are with me on that? But it can't take us away or would subtract from the plan that God gave us while we were, like it says in Hebrews 8:5, well, while we were on the mount, while we were in the Spirit, talking things over with God. And I'll tell you, sometimes whenever He speaks to you, when you're in prayer and He speaks to you, it wasn't your plan. This past week was a rough week on Pastor Debbie and I's plan. Good. Amen. I want His plan. I want His plan. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, we delight. That's whenever we realize what it is, we delight in it. We just, if we need an attitude adjustment, we make it. Okay, thank God. Hallelujah. We enjoy this. Oh, yeah, this is what we want, Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I don't want that. That's ugly. I don't even know. Yes. Yeah. I want this. I want your plan. Amen. Some of you need to get happy about God's plan, I can tell. Hallelujah. All right, but let's talk a little bit about God being a visionary and some people in the Bible that He spoke to and showed them His plan for their life. And you might call it a heavenly given, divinely granted vision or God-given vision. We talked about Abraham. He was unable to have children, but he received this revelation and a vision of a great people coming out of him that he would be the father of, and he and Sarah would be the parents of. And what did he do? He obeyed everything God told him to do. Leave your country, remember that? He told him exactly what to do, and he obeyed everything. And by doing that and going out, not even knowing where he was going, doing it by faith, he stewarded that vision because he uses faith to bring it to pass. Amen. Another example is Noah. He was a man that had never seen rain. You realize before the flood and Noah's time, the Bible said that the earth got water from a mist came up from the ground. There never had been rain. And so he's a man that had never seen rain, and yet God gave him a vision of a great flood that would destroy everything on earth, including all the wicked. And so he was directed by God to build a boat. Took him, the historians believe, 120 years to do it. What was he doing? He was stewarding a vision. He was stewarding a vision of the righteous in the earth being sustained while the wicked were destroyed, so that God can continue to fulfill His plan in the earth. Isn't that something? And so he built that boat, 120 grueling years of working on that thing, and it came to pass exactly like God spoke. But he had to do something, didn't he? It wasn't just God spoke and say, okay, we'll sit back and twiddle our thumbs. He had to use his faith. And faith has feet to it. It gets out there and does something. It does what God says to do. How about Moses? God gave Moses, he was raised, he was a Hebrew, of course, but he was raised in the Egyptian the Pharaoh's home. He was raised as if he was an Egyptian. He looked like an Egyptian, dressed like an Egyptian, smelled like an Egyptian, talked like an Egyptian, ate Egyptian food. I mean, for most people's, perspective, he was an Egyptian, but he wasn't. He was a man with a plan. God had a plan for his life. He was actually a Hebrew. But God gave him a vision of delivering his people out from under the bondage of Pharaoh. And to guide those people out into a land of their own that God had planned for them to have and actually had promised. And so what did he do? He stewarded. He had to do something to steward that vision. And Hebrews says in the 11th chapter, by faith he forsook Egypt. He had to, by faith, obey God whenever God said, I want you to go tell Pharaoh, leave my people go. Let my people go. He had to do that by faith. And God sent him with miracles, signs, and wonders. And he demonstrated the power of God. And Pharaoh kept rebelling. But he kept at it with his faith. No, I have a vision. God spoke to me. These people are to get out of here. These are God's people. They're to be delivered. They're to live in a land of their own, so forth and so on. And he stewarded it by acting in everything God told him to do by faith. By faith, he went to Pharaoh. Because how many of you know, Pharaoh could have just gone off with your head right there. But he had to go do what God said to do. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Hallelujah. How about Mary? God gave her, she's just a Jewish girl. She's just a humble, Jewish girl with no big name recognition or anything. But God gave her a vision of a pregnancy and a birth and a life more important than any in human history. The angel came, said, you're going to conceive, bear a son and call his name Jesus. He'll be, the angel's saying he'll be the Messiah and so forth and so on. Well, she stewarded that. She had a part to play in that, where she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The Bible talks about that. And so it came to pass because God found somebody to steward it. And the Bible said, she said, be it unto me according to thy word. That's faith right there. See, faith comes back. It always comes back to faith that stewards the plan of God. And people say, why is faith so important? Well, you can't please God without it. So what about today? Is there anything happening in the earth today? Huh? We've come to an uncommon moment in history. We've come to the end of 6,000 years of human history. We're at the very last days of the church. We're at a transition phase this earth has never seen. From man being in charge down here to Jesus himself coming and setting up his kingdom on the earth. It's prophesied some things would happen in our day. It's prophesied in the Old Testament. It's prophesied in the book of James. I'll pour out of my spirit, he said, ask of the Lord rain. There's going to be a time of the former and the latter rain. And he talks about the great precious fruit of the earth. The Lord of the harvest has long patience and waits for the precious fruit of the earth. We're at that time. We're at a very uncommon time. And God's looking for some people. He's looking for some people. And who's he looking for? He's looking for some people of faith. He's looking for people he can speak to and say, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. I have a plan. There's some things I want to bring to pass in this earth. Hallelujah. And so in all these situations that we read, we referred to Moses, Mary, and all these people, Abraham, Noah, these are just a few. You could go on and on and on. Elijah, Daniel, all these people. They were at a time in history where God was working something in the earth, and he decided to use somebody, and he called them because they had faith. Same thing's true today. He's looking for people that have faith. Why? Because he wants to speak to them. He wants to say, I want you to do this for me. Oh, I'm excited. We get to be a part of the last days. It's what Peter, Paul, James, and John were looking forward to. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so just like those people centuries ago were used to bring forward God's plan in their day, so God's looking for people of faith in our day to move the plan of God forward. And so he speaks to them and said, I want you to, and he gives them a vision for their lives, a plan for their lives. And those that respond in faith and agree with it, they advance God's plan. Amen. Vision and faith are how God moves his plan forward. God's plan is moving forward. It'll move forward with us or without us. Because God's going to find somebody. He's going to find somebody to fulfill this. I choose that it be with me. I said, I choose that it be with me. He's going to use me because of faith. Amen. So just like the centuries ago, God accomplished some extraordinary things through some very ordinary people. But it wasn't because they were something special. It was because they had faith. And so God's looking for some people today who just respond to him in faith and follow him and steward the plan that he has for them in the earth. Oh, how great that plan is. I don't think eye has seen or ear has heard. Whew, my goodness. You know what? Right in the middle of us obeying that plan, you know, this is Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 10 in the Amplified. I referred to it a while ago. That if we take these paths which he's prepared ahead of time for us, if we'll take those paths, he said in Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified, we'll live the good life. Ooh, you want a good life? Three people want a good life. You want a good life? It's in taking these plans. Hallelujah. Now, what vision does when God speaks and gives you his plan and vision for your life, it gives direction to your faith. Get a hold of that. It gives direction for your faith. In other words, now you know where to put your faith. Now you know where to put your faith. The greatest men in history, they were great as a result of walking out and fulfilling a God-given vision. They are not people of the flesh, they're people of the Spirit. You ask today, they do these surveys, which names are the greatest? How many people know this name? How many people know that name? It always comes back to these men such as Abraham, Jesus, some of the best, most well-known names on the earth today. It always comes back to people who obeyed God's plan for their life down here. Hallelujah. You want to walk in a great life? You want to be used in your generation? You want to be not just a footnote in history, but you become history? Hallelujah. Then you know now how to do it. Amen. Now, if you don't get God's plan for your life, especially if you're called to leadership, because some of us are called to leadership in spiritual things in the body of Christ. But if you don't get God's plan for your life, then how are you going to be able to direct other people's lives into God's plan for this hour? You have to know what God's saying. And you'll never know it by setting aside those that went before us in the Spirit. You'll be out of, because God's not, remember I talked about without a vision, people, King James says perish, but the other translations in the Hebrew says to run wild, they have no direction. Without you knowing what has come before you, you'll be off the course of God's plan. You'll be kind of just doing your own thing, going like a wild hare out here, rather than right in this. Remember I talked about God's plan for my life has always been very much of a flow. God's plan from one generation to another is that way. It's a flow. It's not one generation going crazy over here and another one going crazy over here. We got a generation in the church world right now that's going crazy in another direction from what God has been doing throughout history ever since, you know, Martin Luther. Amen. And I just shuck the corn. Can we shuck the corn? Anybody know in Iowa? Well, you're not in Iowa. Anybody know in California what shuck the corn means? Amen. Ever since Martin Luther and the Holiness Revival and the Pentecostal revival and the healing revival and the charismatic revival and all these revivals, God's been moving certain things, certain directions. Some people today, they went, wah, 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 and they're way over somewhere else. Yeah. Doing away with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Don't talk about tongues. We don't let the Holy Ghost move. Yeah. Because, you know, people, that turns people off. Yeah. They're going a different direction. Yeah. Why? Because they don't even know history in the church. You can't set aside what God did before and know what God's doing today. Just got to tell you. And actually, what they're doing is creating an Ishmael. Abraham did that. Amen. And you realize that creating an Ishmael is going to cause problems. So, we've got to, according to Habakkuk 2:2, keep making this vision plain. I so thank God. I'm just thinking of these last meetings here in January, the Holy Ghost meetings. I enjoyed Brother Copeland and Brother Richard Roberts, but when Pastor Nancy got up, I was like, this is my main feeder right here. Amen. This is really... I'm not diminishing anyone else's ministry. It's just this is my divine connection right here. And I so thank God the things she's sharing. Because it's keeping us right on the track with what God's been doing for all these generations and keeping us moving and right on the rails, so to speak, of where this locomotive is going. Hallelujah. It's a blessing. And God called you here to this. You should shout about that. You're right at the base of it. You're right here at the base. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ooh, I'm seeing some things. I'm seeing where this is going. I'm seeing where she's going. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. These other ministries are being brought in to be a blessing to her, but let me tell you, she's being a blessing to them. Yes, she is. Yes, she is. Mark my words, remember that it was said. So, praise the Lord. Now, without vision, you'll stumble around in life trying to figure out what you're supposed to do. Like he said, they run wild without a vision. People perish. They run, literally, it means run wild. And so, what vision does is it brings focus to you. Brings focus to your faith. It'll bring your life into a divine purpose. People are always like, what am I here for? Well, vision will reveal what you're here for. And so when God speaks to you about his plan for your life, it brings your life into purpose. Now I'm not just down here to suck air, pay the bills, and work a job. We have to do all those things, but there's a purpose for all this. There's a divinely given plan for me being here. You might say, well, my parents said I was an accident. You weren't an accident to God. God knew you were coming. Do you know without God putting a little spirit in that sperm and that egg, without God putting a little spirit there, you wouldn't be here? So God went, whoo, I want them. I got a plan for them. Even though you were a surprise, maybe, I don't know, some of us maybe not, but you might have been a surprise to your parents. God, there was no surprise to God. He has a plan for you, and it's a good plan. He said, I know the plans I think of you, think of concerning you, not plans to do you evil, but plans to do you good. Glory to God. But the issue with us is not to make our own plans and ask God to bless them. It's simply to find out and discover what his plan has been from the foundation of the world. Because we have a part in it. I'm excited about my part. In fact, I'm just thrilled. After last week, I told you that there's a lot of direction came to my wife and I last week. After last week, I'm just about, I can't wait to get home. I got some things I got to do. This week, I'm doing what God told me this week. But there's some things he dealt with us about back there. So, thank God. So, it gives purpose. So having a clearly stated vision will give order to everything you do in life, or at least it should. It should give order. In other words, you'll start cutting out and laying aside things that just don't really have anything to do with God's plan and are taking up time away from getting forward, making another step forward into that part of His plan. Amen. Steps of faith. Steps of faith. You won't get there tomorrow. With this realm of faith, you don't walk it out in a day. It'll be your life, the rest of your life, you'll walk this walk of faith out. I'm talking about for the plan of God in your life. You know what I'm talking about? This is just something that will be for the rest of our lives. So it'll cause you to lay aside some things. Remember, it talks about lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Let us run. In other words, a good runner stays focused on the race ahead. He's not looking over here, and turning around to see who's coming behind him. He's focused. He's looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. When it comes to the spiritual race, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So it brings focus. We start laying some things aside. I can't tell you what God's dealing with you about laying aside. It might be something different than me. But I'll tell you this, the more I go, the more I focus on God's plan. So it'll give you order to everything you do in life. Ask yourself the question, what have I done in the last week, last month, or something like that, that advances God's plan for my life? Like right here, you're in Bible school. You could say, I'm obeying God's plan for me right now in Bible school. Well, that's advancing God's plan for your life. So you can answer that, can't you? But we have to keep that way and stay always diligent. What did I do today that advances God's plan? It might just simply have been today I had some good time of fellowship with the Lord, kept my spirit strong before I went off to work or something like that so that I can hear clearly. Well, hey, you did something to advance God's plan. So I'm not trying to be real legalistic about, you know, you have to, you know, print your business cards or what, you know. You know what I'm talking about? You have to do something spiritual. Because I tell you this, preparing yourself to fulfill God's plan is moving the plan forward. Absolutely. There's things that God won't even speak to us about sometimes if we're not even ready to hear it. And sometimes when He does speak to us, we're not ready to hear it, but He speaks to us so we prepare and get ready. I mean, excuse me, let me rephrase that. When He does speak to us, we're not ready to fulfill it. We might be ready to hear it, but we're not ready to fulfill it. But He'll speak to us to get ready so we can fulfill it. Because He knows us that He wants to prepare us. Hallelujah. Well, I'm having such a good time, I don't hardly want to quit. Anybody else need to go to the restroom? You can go. Maybe we'll just take a 5-minute break or something. We'll just see in a few minutes, 5 or 10 minutes here or so.